The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
As we welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Dr. Alison Ramsey, lecturer, Department of History at the University of the West Indies. Dr. Ramsey, PhD, is a lecturer in Cultural Heritage Studies in the Department of History at the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine Campus. Her research interests include fraternal organizations, museums, land ships in Barbados, Caribbean festivals, cultural and heritage studies, Caribbean and Pacific Island heritage, and Caribbean history. She teaches courses in Caribbean history and heritage studies as well. So welcome to the show, Dr. Ramsey. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank
How are you?
Thank you very much for having me.
So
I am great.
So I know that, I'm not sure if you are aware that, but there's been a discussion within the last couple of weeks leading up to Independence Day on the proposed move by the Prime Minister to remove the, I use this term in quotation marks, quote unquote, the iconic ships of the explorer Columbus from our coat of arms. And that has stirred a whole lot of, you know, I wouldn't want to use the word controversy, but discussion on the idea of colonial identity and also moving away or adjusting the story of colonialism in the Caribbean. What would be your perspective on a move and a change like this?
Good morning, listeners. I think that a move or change like this is part of the Caribbean's growing trend in addressing issues and legacies of colonial vestiges or relics. We are seeing more and more awareness and discussion and action by governments across the region in relation to are the monarchy and its associations in terms of the British Empire relevant to our societies? And we are seeing calls for reparations more and more. We have a CARICOM Reparations Commission. We also are seeing persons discussing more and more the place and space of monuments as well in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement. So I think that as we continue to go through our processes of decolonization, issues relating to our relics, such as the coat of arms, will come up. I think that debate is quite healthy as well in relation to thinking about national identities and nationalism and how do we navigate post-colonialism as well. Now, interestingly enough, a few years ago, such debates were generated when there was a change of the Trinity Cross. And Professor Bridget Burton in our book would have highlighted the debates related to that. And I think it's so interesting, years later, we have these debates as well related to the coat of arms. So it's going to be interesting to see how the government responds to the public and the public response to the government in relation to the coat of arms issue.
Now, you did mention the CARICOM's position on addressing the colonial past of the Caribbean, and you mentioned the Reparations Committee. Can you talk a little more on that? Because I think understanding that this is not just a isolated incident for Trinidad and Tobago opening this discussion with the removal of that colonial image, it is a global response. Could we go further into that?
Certainly. In 2013, the Caribbean as a government would have established the CARICOM Reparations Commission, and that is headed by Chancellor Sir Hilary Beckles. And this commission has this mandate to deal with how can we think about reparations for the indigenous people and the enslaved Africans, and of course, the Indian indentured work. How do we seek to put to the forefront to those European countries, not only Britain, but any European colonizer, how do we navigate and negotiate the effects of colonialism that Europe obviously would have benefited from? And if we think about independence, when we got started in the 60s and 70s, we started with nothing. We started from the bottom up. And it is short of miraculous that we've actually advanced so much in the Caribbean in such a short space of time. Most territories just over 50 years and so forth. Now, Trinidad is one of the oldest islands that has independence. So the legacy of independence is quite long for the island. But there are issues in terms of the effects of health on the region, the debt of the region, issues relating to education. All of this are some of the things that the commission wants European governments to recognize and reconcile with. Obviously, an apology for the atrocities that happened is something that the governments continue to push for as well. In some cases, we are making some advancements in terms of, you know, reparatory justice, but of course, more can be done. So there is a wider regional and global issue of reparations. And we want to have some sort of programs and assistance from these persons in Europe in terms of our health, our education, and those sorts of issues, and the debt that we have been saddled with in terms of remedy issues that we have, for example, public health crises and so forth. So it is very, very serious and a very, very important movement.
And it's something that should be recognized, especially as we speak about our own changes to the coat of arms, which I think, with everything that you just said, there would just be the start of it. Because from your research on independence and colonial relics and monuments in the Caribbean, it's not just the coat of arms. It's, I guess, the structures of governance in some cases. It is the understanding of how school education is run as well, because there is colonial influence within a lot of our systems throughout the Caribbean.
Certainly. It is embedded in basically everything we have, from our legal institutions. And one of our authors, Timothy Afonso, discusses this in terms of the saving loss clauses, the issue of the Privy Council and so forth. So it's vested in our legal systems, our education systems, how we approach the effects that we have in terms of healthcare. All of these are part of it. Now, what we will see openly as well when we walk around in public spaces are, for example, names of places. We will see statues, we will see monuments and so forth associated with our colonial past. So those are visible things that we see, the tangible, but we have other effects that we don't see that are running undercurrents in terms of the differences in how we operate as post-colonial societies with the effects of colonialism as well. So it's quite deeper. The discussion with the coat of arms, of course, will generate quite a substantial amount of debate in terms of the cost to do so, why the particular steel pan is chosen as the replacement image, how are we going to go forward in terms of things like passports and those sorts of things, and the cost. And those things are quite understandable in light of persons being noting that there are other societal issues. But sometimes we also have the idea of timing. Some persons would say this is, the time isn't right. Whether or not the Prime Minister goes forward with the discussion of making this an implementation process, the timing will never be right to make change. That is the case. For example, in Barbados, there were discussions for the entire post-independence period of the statue of Lord Nelson in Bridgetown. And there were many debates as well on what to do with this particular statue. And eventually, Prime Minister Mia Mottley took the bull by the horns and removed the statue. And the timing wasn't right either. Most people argue because we were in the middle of a COVID-19 pandemic. We had debt. We had people having financial hardship. But sometimes you have to take the bull by its horns and make a move. Of course, when you make a move like this, you have to be cognizant of the effects of the move, and you have to have some sort of assessment as well as to the ramifications of this move. So dialogue and debate and consultation, of course, would be ideal in terms of what are the ramifications of such a move. And that would be, in my view, of course, one of the best scenarios that you can have. You also have to know that you will, if you want to have change, you're going to have to deal with fallout. Everybody will not be happy. Mm-hmm. Some people will be happy and some people will not be happy. Also, there's the debate as to where do we stop in terms of contested heritage. The Caribbean is created from contested heritage. Colonialism in itself is about conquest. It's about death. Mm-hmm. It's about trauma. It's about pain. Those are not positive things. But the Caribbean is a resilient space, and all the diasporas that came into the region, the indigenous people, the African, European, Asian, etc., all of these people have created a cultural diversity and a space that is unique like no other. Mm-hmm. So we have been forged from these ashes of colonialism, and we are an excellent and proud people of the region. So you have to look at it at both sides, because of course we can't remove every single thing that is linked to colonialism, because that is also part of who we are, because mm-hmm. we can't forget that aspect of our past.
And this is when, just to jump in here a little bit, idea of removing that colonial history, as you said, it mm-hmm. is part and a very integral part of our history as the Caribbean, because, and as you said, coming out of that era, our own identity started to surface from our foods, the way that we intermingled our ancestors' history, culture, customs, and intermingled it with the colonial structures that came here. In some cases, it was to make fun of the colonial masters, but at the same time, mm-hmm. it was to at least make the space that is the Caribbean home to us, you know.
Correct.
How some would argue that making these changes would bring it wouldn't bring much of a difference. Nothing will change, and we would run away, in some cases, run away from the Caribbean identity that we seem to be fighting for. What would be your response to that?
I would say that if you are going to make changes, it is your responsibility to educate the public before you make changes. Educate the public in terms of the process, in terms of making the changes. And when these changes are made, you can't erase something that was already there, that especially is in the memory of so many generations of people. It doesn't go away. You may name something somewhere else, but people still refer to it as its own name, because there's a memory associated, a public memory associated with that. You can't change that. So what you have a responsibility to do as well for our future generations that may not have lived during this moment is to also educate them as to why, how, and the importance. I don't think that we are going to be erasing anything. You can't erase part of who you are. For example, if you think about Carnival, and some of the carnival characters are mocking the colonial past, and they're from the 19th century and so forth, and they're still played in the 21st century. Everybody may not understand the entire context, but it's still present and it's still maintained and passed on. So once we have that responsibility to ourselves, the public, in terms of passing on things through generations and traditions, it is not going to be forgotten in that way.
I don't think it can be forgotten, seeing that it is recorded. As a historian, you would see that the way in which it has been recorded, it can always reference to it. The question, though, of the cost will be forefront on a lot of minds, as you brought up the example of Barbados with the Lord Nelson statue. It was in the middle of the pandemic, and it would have costed a certain amount of money to break it down, and that could have been used elsewhere. That argument would obviously be placed in this situation when we have to think about the items that need to be changed because of the representing emblem of Trinidad and Tobago also being changed and the cost attached to it. Do you think that the cost would be worth it?
I can't judge.
Yeah.
I can't judge something like that. But perhaps what may make, and I'm not a financial person, but mm-hmm. perhaps what may make financial sense is to do certain things on a phased approach and, you know, start with, you know, short-term, medium-term, long-term goals, mm-hmm. And phase things out in those particular steps so that it will allow for a budgetary, not too much of a budgetary fallout.
Mm-hmm. Or strain.
Well as, yeah, person, mm-hmm. yeah, and yes, our constraint. And also to have persons become more, as much as they could, if this goes forward, comfortable with change. So if you mm-hmm. phase it out and explain what you're doing and educate the public as you are going along, and in some cases consult, I think that may be the best, because a wholesale taking down of everything, reprinting everything, mm-hmm. is a mammoth task.
Yes,
it is. Because we can't get through all of those different ministries alone. The Ministry of Education is massive in terms of number of schools and having to put all those in the schools. It's going to be a long project, I would think. Mm-hmm. So a phased approach may be the best way to go. That's a humble suggestion.
But in terms of being a historian, I think that this would be a very interesting time to record as well. Understanding that the global movement, as you suggested earlier, to not so much erasing, but renaming or taking back that power from colonial, quote-unquote, masters and their atrocities to, you know, put forward a different perspective on each culture, not just Caribbean culture, because it would have been colonizers from around the world. I guess regaining that power to tell that story. Do you think it's an exciting period that we're in?
Of course. History is so interesting and so important to society, because as historians, we know that there are waves at different points of time. Mm-hmm. There are patterns that happen in society, and we also have times of resistance, times of change. And as historians, we can observe these different patterns over time. So when we think about changes in our Caribbean history, for example, and during the enslavement period, we had change to resistance and the major rebellions in the 19th century, the 20th century labor riots. Mm-hmm. Then we had the move towards independence as another phase. All of these are stages of decolonization and changes of resistance. And in the world, right now we are in the phase of thinking about how do we take back our power? How do we write our own story? And that is why the book Independence, Colonial Relics and Monuments in the Caribbean was important, to put the Caribbean's perspective into what is happening across the world, because mm-hmm. we are part of a greater and larger movement of change in the world. And for persons who would say that history is not relevant or we shouldn't study history, I would encourage you to think about that perspective, because history tells us so much. Right now, the entire public of Trinidad and Tobago is debating its history through this coat of arms issue. Mm-hmm. And those persons who are making their mark on social media, on print media and so forth, as historians, that is information for us to be able to write about what was happening in this period of history. So you are also taking part mm-hmm. of what is happening with history, whether you are on the side of or the side of against. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage persons to take some history courses, whether it is at university level, in the history department, take it at CSET, take it at CAPE. You need to be able to understand your history and obviously join in into this
conversation
of
yeah.
who we are, what is our identity, what is our heritage, what is our culture, who are we? History mm-hmm. is very, very important. And I just want to say that the Department of History is going to be hosting the Association of Caribbean Historians Conference in Trinidad and Tobago next year. So persons who are interested in history, please take some time and you can come to that conference.
Yes. Yeah, and I guess you can come to Freedom 106.5 FM, of course, to give us that information, and we're gladly disseminate it. Because as much yeah. as I think, you know, we know the saying already, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And to recognize history to understand how far we've really come, so that we don't sell ourselves short. Going to the title of your book, Independence, Colonial Relics and Monuments in the Caribbean, this would be research on each Caribbean country and their journey to independence and moving away from the colonial ideology. Is that the basis of the book?
Okay, so the book has those three words in it because the authors tackle those three themes from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So it's not about each island's independence. However, we have discussions of independence in different ways. So, for example, we have someone, Rene Nelson, who's written about independence from the Federation of the West Indies perspective in Jamaica. We then have the discussion of independence from a legal perspective by Timothy Afonso. So we have the discussion on colonial relics from the perspective of Bridget Brereton on the Trinity Cross, for example, mm-hmm. Sharon Johnson in Barbados on the Lord Nelson statue. I also have a chapter on monuments to nationhood as well, and independence and emancipation monuments in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Others tackle independence from an Indian indentureship perspective, such as Ashley Morris on the Five Islands and it being an Indian indentureship depot and its significance to the country. Mm. We also have Cheyenne Albert speaking about Indian heritage through Hindu temples or mandirs. So we have different ways in which we discuss those three themes. Mm. We have another author discussing the effect of George Floyd and the impact of George Floyd across the wider Caribbean.
The Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes, the Black Lives Matter movement and so forth. We also have another, Dana Lee Jagu, who is looking at gender imbalance in our statues, monuments, and names of buildings in University of the West Indies and the wider society of Trinidad and Tobago. So we have different angles. Another author is Margot Brunwood, who discusses independence through statues in Curacao. Mm. So various ways in which we deal with the topic offer different perspectives from across the region as well.
Would the University of the West Indies be using a book like this within the Department of History to study that part of history?
Of course. This is not only for history, but for cultural studies would be relevant, for heritage studies would be relevant. Different disciplines can use this book, and also persons who are taking CSEC and CAPE, this would be useful for teachers who are teaching CAPE and CSEC level. This also be quite useful as well to have that regional perspective on this point in time of our history, the past, and what was happening post 2020 when we had the Black Lives Matter protests across the world and in the Caribbean with that particular lens as well. So this is a useful text. And the chapters are quite short and they are written quite easily for easy read. They're not academic. It is light reading where you get a little bit of academia, a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And the general public can read this book quite easily, yes.
I have another interesting question for you. As we talk about the different perspectives that are in the book, you did mention, well, the latest one with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. And most of that occurred online through social media, and not so much books and papers. What is the role social media and these quick 3-minute segments in terms of a historian and collecting that data? How has it changed for you in that perspective?
Definitely. For example, the chapter on the George Floyd effect actually mentioned that the power of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram in terms of the hashtag movements as well. Even when we think about South Africa and the Cecil Rhodes Must Fall movement, that was a hashtag as well. That led to the removal of the Rhodes Monument in University of Cape Town in South Africa. And Rhodes was also a British imperialist. And the hashtag Rhodes Must Fall was very important. Now, for example, in Barbados, two chapters on Nelson also note that there was an online petition and social media as well. The point I want to get across here is that persons may think that the young people are not interested in these sorts of things, mm-hmm. or the young people are not aware. But we must be cognizant that there are different methods, and using technology is a method, as well as being part of protests and adding your voice to protest. So in Barbados, we also had hashtag Nelson, a Nelson Must Fall issue coming up, and an online petition that was started by a young man to push forward for this particular statue to be removed. So mm-hmm. the role of social media, of course, is very, very important. And as historians, we also look to social media as well as part of our, not only historians, but other persons who are into culture and so forth, also can look there to use that as information as to what is going on and how do people feel about certain things and what do they do. Mm-hmm. And the young people express themselves that way as well. And young people as well were also part of these types of protests across the world in the 2020-2021 era. So the youth are quite aware, and some people may think they are not, but they're mm-hmm. quite aware of who they are and their identity and their heritage. And I think that we must work more together in general as a society to be able to shape our own consciousness and what is it that we want to represent and reflect to the world as Caribbean people.
Mm. Well said. The thing is, I'm thinking, how do we keep record of all of these things? I mean, books and papers, I mean, from paper roots all the way up, you know, is one way of keeping record. Now there's film and the multiverse that is the internet, you know, so it's a lot of advances and a lot for us to keep up with, I guess.
Indeed.
So with the launch, has the launch happened already, or would there be another viewing of the book? And if not, where can those who are interested in the perspectives that you just spoke about, where can they get that information?
Yes, we had a successful launch in Barbados and in Trinidad. We had a launch in July in Trinidad and a launch just last week in Barbados. And both were well supported and attended. And we are so pleased that the public is responding so well to the text. What you can do is you can find it on Amazon as well. You can find it on Lexington Books as well. And if you go through Lexington Books, I believe you can get a 30% discount. And I can also share that flyer with you so you can perhaps disseminate to the public as well.
Sure.
They will be at the UE Bookshop in Barbados and in Trinidad as well. It's a new book, so those orders haven't come in as yet. But those are some of these places that you can get it online and physically as well. In Barbados, I know you're not in Barbados, but it's also at the Barbados Museum Historical Society. And we will be working on other places that we can get the book to the public, as this is just fresh off the
press.
The press, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will also, of course, give you more information as we get more updates as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure, no problem. And any last comments you'd like to make in perspective of the... Well, we now understand that it is not only an isolated event happening in Trinidad and Tobago where these colonial relics and the discussion of the removal is happening. It's happening regionally and it's happening internationally as well. Any last comments on that perspective and any words of advice as to how some can handle that change that is to come?
Yes, I would just note that this is yet another step, what is going on in our decolonization process. Mm-hmm. So decolonization didn't stop in 1962 as the case of Trinidad and Tobago when it became independent. It was an important step. But decolonization goes further as well, as you know that you became a republic. And different ways in which we see decolonization is thinking about how do we think about cultural freedom, psychological freedom, economic freedom, freedom in the way in which we want to have self-determination. So this is another part of the process of decolonization in the region. Now, colonialism happened for several centuries. Centuries after centuries, generations were born into colonialism. it is something that will not go away just like that. Because we are now only independent, say 50, 60 years or so.
Yeah, still young.
The time difference is so vast. As developing nation states in the world, the Caribbean should be very proud of how far we have advanced coming from no help. And that's why reparations is important in order to get some assistance. Our nation leaders at the time, whether it was Eric Williams, whether it was Errol Barrow, whether it was the era of the 60s and so forth, those people were visionaries who worked with nothing. And sometimes I think that as citizens, we don't appreciate how far we have come. Imagine if we had the resources that other places had or have had, how much more we could have done, but we have done so much with so little. And we should be very proud of ourselves. We can do more, of course. We can do more to improve our environment. We can do more to improve the issues with crime and violence and our social issues as well, poverty, literacy, and so forth. Those are things that we have to work on, but it's not going to happen overnight. I think as a society, we need to support each other and our leadership, whoever that will be, or whoever it is, in order to make the best community we can for our children. Each decade should be improving, okay? So I think that we have to understand that this is part of our process. This is part of us in the Caribbean making our own history as well as revising that history as well that has been written from the perspective of others. That is why it is so important that we have revisionist persons who have been making their mark, and we have to give credit to them. Hillary Beckles, Elsa Govia, Bridget Barrington, Woodville Marshall, all of these names, Vereen Shepherd and so forth, were trailblazers in getting us to know a little bit more about who we are. And as we continue to try to navigate our Caribbean identities, because it's not only one, we have multiple, and our Caribbean heritage and culture, this is part of the story, the narrative that we are shaping for generations to come. So I would say as well, it will take time. We're not going to get it right overnight, but we must make some sort of effort to have the public know another side of who we are as well. And to be part of that process, it should not just be a top-down process, but as much as possible, as we forge our nationhoods and identities and so forth, it must be the people as well at the center and at the heart. And I think that that is quite important. For those persons who may have difficulty navigating the change, that is understandable. Because if you have grown up with a certain aspect one way all the time, that's all you know. That is part of who you are. That's part of your identity. Because that is who I am, and that is what I have known. And that is understandable, and it's okay if for some persons that may be traumatic or may cause some sort of discomfort. And it's okay for them to feel how they feel. And we must respect their feelings because they have lived through that particular point of time, and that is what is part of them and what is important to them. We shouldn't disregard or disrespect anybody's views in that way. However, at the same time, we must also have some level of open-mindedness to different things that may develop, because we are developing as we go along. And we also can embrace being part of that development and part of that change. Of course, persons will want to be comfortable that the change is being done in the best and most transparent way as possible. Mm-hmm. And that is also quite important, because we must make people as well be aware and comfortable with what we are doing. And communication, of course, is essential in order to do so. Communication and listening.
Yeah, and not just listening to, not just to respond, but to understand as well.
Correct.
Dr. Ramsey, I'm sorry, but
part as well.
here. I know that we're really getting into the meat of it. Probably we didn't have enough time, but I have to close off here today. Thank you so much for joining us here on Freedom 106.5 FM and bringing that message. And sure, we can speak again and go further into the topic.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.